So this is awkward. So I don't think in my 40 years of ordained ministry I've had the opportunity to preach a sermon I hadn't seen before, that I had not actually written. So I just want you to, I invite you to pray with me that God will indeed bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, and may they be acceptable in God's sight. Amen. So this sermon is entitled, To Dream a World. I will present it to you as best I can, and we will do our best and trust the Spirit of God to make meaning for us all with this. Miriam Therese Winter made something of a splash in the 1960s as the leader of a group of singing nuns known as the Medical Mission Sisters, which is actually the name of their order, the Medical Mission Sisters. The group's claim to fame was a recording of a very popular collection of simple folk-like songs titled Joy is Like the Rain. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, Rick sang the refrain to The Wedding Band from that collection. Words, an excerpt, I cannot come to the banquet, don't bother me now, end quote. Miriam Therese, or MT, as she is affectionately known, is still active at 87. Over the intervening years, she earned a BA in music from Catholic University, her master's degree in religious education from McMaster Divinity College, and a PhD in liturgical studies from Princeton. She's currently an emeritus professor of liturgy, worship, spirituality, and feminist studies at Hartford International University for Religion and Peace, where she established the Department of Liturgy, Worship, and Spirituality and founded the Women's Leadership Institute. A biographical note for her introduction into the State Hall of Fame in Connecticut notes that MT, quote, discovered the magic of words and music as a child. She wrote her first poem when she was just six, and a year later began to learn the piano. Her love of music followed her when, many years later, Winter joined the Medical Mission Sisters in Philadelphia, ready to begin her dream of traveling to developing nations and providing much-needed medical care. As a Medical Mission Sister, Winter has worked along the Thai-Cambodian border and in Ethiopia at refugee camps. She has also traveled in communities across Africa and into South Asia, India, to spread her music, as well as performing here in the West, in US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. During her travels, she developed a new dream, that of spreading care and love through song rather than medicine. And she continues to transform the world with this ministry. Through workshops and lectures, prayers and songs, she addresses issues of justice and gender, peace and reconciliation, global inequality, and personal piety. There's a further biographical note about her from Hartford, where she is now, quoting her award-winning books on biblical women, feminist ritual and spirituality, more recently quantum spirituality, are the result of her penchant for exploring new and more authentic ways of living faithfully in a constantly evolving universe, end quote. She's written these words herself, quoting, the soul of the universe is divinity, present everywhere and in everything. I like that. Divinity present everywhere and in everything, in you and in me, in friend and foe, in all who share our sacred space and our hallowed planet. Her scholarship is rooted in what she likes to call the liturgy of life. This is shaped by her multifaceted experiences locally and around the world, especially among those who are powerless and poor. with women who are incarcerated, with any who are willing to help bring about a more just and peace-filled planet. While she relishes scholarship and research, Miriam Therese is at heart a singer of songs and a pioneer in introducing folk-style music into Catholic liturgical tradition. And those of you who are familiar at all with modern Catholic liturgical practice often will find folk music. So that's something I built and know. So thank you, Rick. So Rick goes on, among her many hymns, MT, Rick has most often turned to the one we sang today. So that would be the hymn I think we just sung. There's something hopeful, maybe even promising, in her expression of longing for a different kind of world. In today's words of preparation, she lays out a vision of the role of Christians in bringing about such a world. And quoting Miriam Therese, "We are the body of Christ when we open ourselves to the Spirit of Jesus and continue what Jesus began. But let us be very careful that we do not limit Jesus. The one who welcomed everyone left us a challenging perspective as our legacy. He identified with those who are hungry and thirsty and lack proper clothes. Jesus identified with the sick, with the felon, with the stranger, saying, when we attend to their bodily needs, when we give food and drink, clothing and care and compassion, empathy and shelter to them, we're doing these things for him. For Christ's own body is one embodied with the divine in humanity. To dream a world. Another poet from an earlier time, dream a dream of an even better world. I dream a world where a man, no other man will scorn, where love will bless the earth and peace its paths adorn. I dream a world where all will know sweet freedom's way, where greed no longer saps the soul, nor avarice blights our day. A world I dream where black or white, whatever race you be, will share the bounties of the earth, share the bounties of the earth, and every human is free. Where wretchedness will hang its head and joy like a pearl attends the needs of all humankind, of such I dream my world. The words of Langston Hughes, like M.T., writing from the heart about the Harlem Renaissance, somehow he held out hope for, looking to the promise of and for a different world, a world in which people are free to share the bounty of the earth, where wretchedness will hang its head and joy attend the needs of all humankind, when love and peace will be a way of life. I think there's a link between the biblical and the theological underpinning for this week's focus hymn and last week's. Remember, Ruth Duck, this would be from last week, wrote, quote, "Brooding spirit, labor with us, aid the birthing of the new world yet to be, share your word of a world made new." And then we consider part of Paul's letter, which we read earlier, his letter to the Christians in Rome. He wrote, "For we know that the entire creation is groaning together and going through labor pains together, groaning within ourselves as we eagerly await our adoption, the redemption of our body." Remember, I said, Paul posits that there is embedded in the whole creation, us included, a deep longing to be centered in the God who made us, who loves us, and longs for our shalom, our well-being. I think that's worth repeating. Remember, Paul posits puts forth, there is embedded in the whole creation, us included, a deep longing to be centered in the God who made us, loves us, and longs for our shalom, our well-being. That means we're hardwired for this, all of us. And yet that's lacking for so many. Deep longing, vivid dreaming, hope against hope for a world that more closely reflects God's intention for a creation and a humanity that is fully engaged in the world of the coming kingdom of God. Oh, for a world where everyone respects each other's ways, where love is lived and all is done with justice and praise. Oh, for a world where goods are shared and misery relieved, where truth is spoken, children spared. I'm thinking of Gaza and other places. Equality achieved. We welcome one world family and struggle with each choice that opens us to unity and gives our vision voice. The poor are rich. The weak are strong, the foolish ones are wise, turning the wisdom of the world on its head. Tell all who mourn, outcast belong, who perishes will rise. Oh, for a world preparing for God's glorious reign of peace, where time and tears will be no more, and all but love will cease. So there's a connection between these texts and these readings, guiding us toward the kind of world Langston Hughes dreams for us and Miriam Therese Winter sings about. These are our theological and ethical underpinnings, what it means for us to be the people of God, the body of Christ, to long for that which we're hardwired for and which we see around us so seldom, and even within us we struggle for. Times were tough and progress was slow in the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Call out for help, the prophet proclaims, and God will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, in other words, do what you can do to the extent you can do it, as God would lead you, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. You know, I was thinking of, this is now not Rick, this is Bill. I was thinking of something, one of my favorite quotes that seems apropos at the moment, the writer of Matt Wheatley, who wrote, surprisingly to me, about despair, that hope is not the antidote to despair. I know, I raised my eyebrow, that's not true, of course hope is the antidote to despair. She says, no, hope is not the antidote to despair. It is deciding what it is you want to do about something you care about. And of course, hope springs from that. What are we going to do? Right? There's lots of words in this sermon, but they are important words, but they are both challenging us and empowering us to be the people we're called to be. And I think part of the challenge is deciding what is it we want to do about the things that really matter to us, right? In this way, we are about building together the beloved community. There's much here. And as you can tell, I've not read ahead because there was no time to do so. But I think we're at a place where we can begin to draw together these final thoughts and ask God's continued blessing on us here in this late summer season as many families are preparing for school and the church here is beginning and we continue in a time of transition in our own church. And our world continues to have the challenges we've touched on a bit today, both locally and globally, all things that can matter to us. This sermon has been a lot about a dream that we, if Rick is right, and I think so, we are hardwired for because we are God's people. And the tension and the frustration and the pain we feel is because the dream is not realized. We have glimpses of it, we have moments of working toward it, and yet so much is broken. A dream can be a beautiful thing, and to dream of a world in which we respect each other's ways, where love is lived and all is done with justice and with praise, where goods are shared and misery relieved, where truth is spoken, children are spared, and equality is achieved, has a great appeal to me. Doesn't it to you? Yeah. The thing is that as the writer of 3rd Isaiah and the Apostle Paul and so many others who have been, some of whom I've not read about today, but many, all remind us, it is not enough just to dream. If we want a different world, we have to do something about it. We have to find ways to discipline our lives and commit ourselves to action. That is our high calling. As Miriam Therese, or MT, reminds us, we are the body of Christ. When we open ourselves to the Spirit of Jesus and continue what he began, we welcome one world family in which we live out the motto of our church, open to all and closed to none. And yet we don't do it perfectly. And there's much work to be done. And yet we're empowered with the Spirit of the living God. And so let us continue as we may struggle with each choice to do so in faith, to do so together, and to bravely face the future that we have that opens us to unity and gives our vision voice. As we continue to journey, we are thankful for these writers and for the Scripture and for the Spirit of God. Let us dream a world as God dreams it as we join together to see